Hello, welcome to the Long Shot Leaders Podcast. I'm Michael Stein. If I sound a little nasally, I'm just getting over the vid. I avoided it for over 2 years and I got COVID, but I'm getting better. But we continue. We got to march on. Our guest today is Aaron Williamson. Aaron is a decorated Marine, celebrity fitness trainer, and actor. Now it's almost the end of the year, and what do people do? They plan to lose that weight or get in great shape. So I thought it'd be perfect to have Aaron come on around this time to get people prepared for that and also hear a really good underdog long shot story. There's a lot to it here. He's a really great guy. Here is Aaron Williamson. All right. I'm here with Aaron Williamson. And, you know, one of my favorite people, United States Marine. And this crusty old bastard up here, this guy with the cigarette, that was my stepdad. He was a sergeant Marine Corps. And I always say this when I talk to Marine, every birthday since I was 10 years old is like, yep, 8 more years, going to join the Marine Corps, 7 more years, joining the Marine Corps every year, you know? And so, I never did, 4-year plan. I was going for the 2-year plan. He's like, nah, man, you got to go in for 4 years, but I digress. I want to get into like, you know, where you grew up and talk about your origin story. I want to find out what makes you tick. And, get into all that. So why don't you tell us where you're from and we'll get started.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm from Daytona Beach, Florida. You know, used to be the party central place back in the day, spring break. And I got wrapped up into a lot of that as a kid, which kind of led me down the wrong road. So the Marine Corps ended up being my salvation. You know, without it, I don't think I'd be here right now, to be honest with you. It was a blessing in disguise. I learned a lot about myself in terms of just qualities that were inherently there. They had to be pulled out from somebody, and the Marine Corps did that. Right. So I kind of lived that Marine Corps life now in terms of having the expeditionary mindset and just being able to overcome any obstacles that get put in your way. So I think my life story kind of shows that, so to speak, in terms of the things I've done and the things I've been through and then where I'm at now. I feel like we're in some interesting times, but I don't want to ramble off, but
let's talk about mom and dad for a little bit. What were they in this whole picture? What did they do and what did they do for a living and what were they like?
It was a little rocky on the parental side. You know, my real father was divorced when I was a baby. My mother, my stepfather, who I consider my real father, got divorced when, I was in sixth grade. So that's kind of when things started to fall apart for me is right around that time. Went to a shitty school, got the typical bully treatment. And then it kind of turned me into, I don't want to say turned me into a bully, but I started fighting back and no one messed with me after that. But when you do that, you go down the wrong path and get in the wrong crowd. And so it's not a good thing.
High school, any specific, more of that, but any specifics, what was high school like for you?
High school was interesting because I managed to get through it, but I didn't have a great outcome in terms of successful opportunities just because of the mental state I was in and just trying to be a better kid. I failed my first ninth grade year, had to repeat it. My mom put me in into a private school, which I did better, but it doesn't matter what school you're in. If your mind's not right, you're going to fall into the wrong crowd. So opportunities kind of got squandered off and little by little, it creeped up on my junior year. And I realized that I needed to start thinking about what my future was. And that's when I started really thinking about the military. And in my mind, the Marine Corps to me is, creme de la creme, the best of the best.
Right. I feel like that too. So mindset, you talk about that with, anybody can know a routine, workout routine, but it's all about mindset. We're going to get to that later. So let's talk about your journey in the Marines, because that's a big pivotal point. That's your inciting incident in this story, right? So yeah. You joined the Marines. Let's talk about your personal journey with that.
Yeah, I realized I was in a different world when I stepped on those yellow footprints at Parris Island. I knew I was in for something special. I thought it was going to be more of a physical thing, and it actually was much more mental. But having said that, it pulled all those things out that I mentioned a little bit ago: leadership, perseverance, strength, courage, all that stuff. And, you know, got to my first duty station at Camp Lejeune, was an infantry Marine, became a team leader pretty quickly, in charge of a lot of older Marines who didn't like that too much. So I had to learn how to hold my own amongst the seniors. And I think I earned my place. I earned their respect. I had some special duties along the way with the Marine Corps body bearers, which are the pallbearers for the Marine Corps. A lot of people don't really know that. It's kind of lumped under the honor guard umbrella, but we're a 15-man section in the Marine Corps. So you figure it's a lot of funerals to cover in the Marine Corps, having such a small unit. So mainly work out of Arlington National Cemetery. We travel abroad, though. I've been to New Zealand. You go where the commandant of the Marine Corps sends you, congressmen, dignitaries, things like that. And then post that duty, I was personal security for General Peter Pace at the Pentagon when he was the vice chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. So interesting stuff. And then post that duty, I actually got out of the Marine Corps and went over to Iraq and did some contracting work on a classified project having to do with identity management, which is all the biometric work. It's a part of the war you don't hear about, but it's a part of the war that I wish people knew more about, just for the simple fact that what we did made the entire world a safer place because of the work we did.
Can we get in specifics? Like, what kind of work is that? Like, what is that biometric? What does that entail?
So essentially, you know, if someone's trying to get on one of the military installations, you've got to enroll in a system that we capture all your biometric and biographical data. So it's all put on a smart card. If you're going to come onto a base, you've got to verify who you are. You can't fake a fingerprint. And at the same time we're doing all this, there's latent fingerprint teams out in the field collecting fingerprints off of, you know, different ordinances, crime scenes, IED explosions, things like that, which you can still lift a latent fingerprint off of an IED that's been exploded. And having said that, we caught a lot of bad guys.
So how long were you out there doing that for?
4 years.
Okay. You come back, and I might be jumping ahead here, but there was a time where, you said you were living out of your car, or, you know, was that how much longer when you got back from that? Because that was a good paying job. Or like, what was there volatility in your life at that time? What's your journey like there? What happened there?
Yeah, I'm kind of a statistic in terms of, had a bad marriage over there. It really, really messed my life up in a really bad way. In every way you can possibly think of, including financially. So when I came back, I had anticipated on getting a job in New Orleans that didn't really work out the way I had anticipated. So the plan I had to transition into a civilian life simply fell apart quickly, which is where I ended up living in my car and, filed for bankruptcy and just really, really was on rock bottom trying to figure out, all right, well, how did I do all these amazing things in my life? And now here I am with nothing and nobody. I didn't tell my family. It was kind of an embarrassing moment for me because it was pretty surreal and very humbling. I knew I was going to come out of it. I just didn't know how. And that's when I just kind of, really dumped everything I had into the one thing that's continued to keep me anchored over the years, which is fitness. And when I did that, I was homeless. I wanted to compete in the Mr. New Orleans regional competition. It's a small show, but I was like, you know what? I want to do this show. I want to win it. I want to be Mr. New Orleans, and I want to promote health and fitness across the city. And I did it. And then really, really quickly after that, I fell in the middle of the film and TV industry training Zac Efron. He and his trainer came in for a movie called The Lucky One, which he plays in a Marine Iraq veteran. And that was kind of my entrance into it. I didn't know at the time there were more films and TV shows being shot in Louisiana than anywhere else in the world. And that was due to the tax credit. So I call it my destiny. New Orleans, if it wasn't for New Orleans, I don't know where my life would be right now.
That's awesome. I want to rewind a little bit. I want to go back to the car. I want to go back to you're making that decision. And then I want to talk about when you're getting ready for a show, your diet is it's more expensive. You know, you got to eat, you got supplements, you got to, how do you, can these guys, how, where are you going to train? How do you navigate that?
So I was training out of a 24-hour gym in Uptown New Orleans. I still had a car, little Toyota Corolla. And so I was using that time to just be at the gym all the time to let everyone know who I was. No one knew what I was going through, but I was there all the time. So I was able to build a clientele to start making money. I was, you know, using the laundry room there, sleeping on the massage table sometimes when I could, you know, bouncing around to different friends' homes to cook meals and sleep and stuff. So just trying to be as resourceful as I can to get myself out of the situation I was in.
So you started training people while you're training yourself for the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's awesome. And what clicked for you? At that apex at that moment, like, we're, what made you just say, what was the point where you're like, your mindset is at its nadir. It's at its lowest point. And then you say, look, what was the paradigm shift, you think?
I made it back from over there when I feel like there was a lot of situations that I'm blessed to have been able to walk away from. And so having said that and having lost, you know, many friends over there, I look at it as I can't be weak-minded and just give up. So it's where I say in some of my interviews, you know, there's in situations like these, for me, the way I look at them is, you know, we have a responsibility to do something amazing with our lives because we were fortunate enough to come back when others weren't. So I can never squander that opportunity and that blessing.
So you do the show, you win, right?
Yep.
Not that. And now you start doing that one thing with that started with the Zac Efron gig, right? What'd you do on that, by the way? Did you just train him?
No, I came in as his technical advisor, helping him walk like a Marine, talk like a Marine. And then once we finished that show, we maintained that relationship and he kept working together over the next several years.
How well does he train? Does he train hard? Was he a good listener?
Yeah, he is. He is. He's very in tune with his body. He knows what works, what doesn't work, what he likes, what, you know, but at the same time, he's very open to new styles of training. And that was me. I'm all about intensity and high volume.
Right. Where does it go after that now? Cause you know, you worked with Rock, you're starting to get, you know, you're starting to hit your stride here. You know, let's talk about that ride of momentum and how it looks.
Yeah, so it went from me being in New Orleans for a contracting job with the Marine Corps to all of a sudden now I'm in the film industry, you know, training celebrities. I was successful at it. I was good at it. It brought a lot of notoriety, which brought in new clients, which were directors and producers who, you know, looked at me and just kind of encouraged me to think a little bit outside the box. Maybe I could get into stunts. Maybe I could get into acting, look into it and do something a little bit more because of my look and presence. So I got an acting coach and it was a game changer for me because I've never in my life thought about acting. But when I got with my acting coach, he kind of, in the same sense, the Marine Corps kind of breaks you down. That was his goal, to break me down, because vulnerability is not a thing a Marine is good at embracing. So there were, you know, at the very beginning, it was, you know, there were a time where I wanted to, like, it was heated. I wasn't happy what he was doing, but once I realized what he was doing and allowed that vulnerability to set in, it was like, I can't put it into words, but it allowed me to open up these deep repressed emotions and allowed me to start using a lot of that stuff and realizing that acting is more than just your social media following. It's an art, it's a craft, it's a talent. You have to work at it. You have to hone in on it. You have to improve it. You have to always get better. And what I found was, from a post-traumatic standpoint, it was very therapeutic and helped me heal in a sense in terms of being able to use a lot of this, you know, these emotions that I would never be able to do anything with besides going to therapy and talking to someone, or which, you know, in my mind, I'm not, you know, too keen on that.
Well, it's funny you say that, you know, back to my stepdad, you know, man of few words and man of few emotions, you know, and you could see, like, if he was working on a radiator and his arms bubbled up and bleeding, you know, like, Bert, what the hell happened? He's like, ah, you know, like that's a sentence and that's a conversation and that's it, you know? And with acting, you're doing an inventory of emotions. And then, cause you get the written piece and you're going to have to do a parallel experience from your life. Usually if it's the kind of acting, whether it's, you know, sense memory or, you know, kind of a Strasberg-esque, you're doing an inventory of emotions, right? So you're going to have to dig into your life, parallel experiences of that emotion, so you can kind of, you know, get familiar with it and get used to those emotions, because that's your paintbrush and that's your paint is your emotions. Yeah. And that's a tough thing for a guy that's been through a lot of traumatic stuff. Sometimes when you kind of compartmentalize it or you kind of shade over it, did you deal with a lot of that, you know, kind of digging in and looking in your own life and kind of opening up? And but once you understood it as a Marine, then you're like, this is the mission? Or what was that like a little bit more deeper in that?
It was really breaking the Marine part off and separating it, because the Marine aspect fit into a certain degree of discipline and structure. But when it came to emotion and vulnerability and all the things that you need as an actor, I had to separate all that. So the journey was great, you know, getting into the acting classes and working with partners and doing scene work. And I mean, it's just, I can't explain how therapeutic it was for me. And funny enough, 2020 was supposed to be my biggest year. I had a lot of stuff going on that was lined up, which is why I moved from LA to Vegas. And then COVID happened. And, you know, it's a story of many.
Which is, there is a silver lining that when I talk to a lot of actors, because it's been a long time since I've gone on auditions. And what's different now after COVID is, a lot of the auditions still, they kind of transitioned over, like you could do your audition online, is where you don't have to drive there as much as it used to before COVID. Is that true for you?
Yeah. Yeah. Everything I do right now is pretty much, you know, here I've got my audition room set up in the front guest room, and it's just very convenient. Every now and then I'll have to make a drive into LA for a callback or something like that. But, I'm still involved. I'm still loving it. I've taken this year and focused on my fitness business, because I really wanted to never be in that position where this could ever happen again, where it's like your career is so great and then boom, it's gone. And then you don't really have a fallback. And, you know, from a fitness standpoint, I'm sitting on something special, and I wanted to finally do something with it and grow it and turn it into something. So that was my whole year. This year was really growing that.
Let's talk about that. Cause you got this, you know, kind of like a 90-day thing, which is perfect. You know, anything over 30 days, you know, it gives, you know, your clients, people, you know, like Tony Robbins 30-day program or P90X, you know, that's it gets you hooked. And if it works, you know, you're bought in. Tell us about yours and what's going on with that.
So my 90-day program is essentially a culmination of everything that I've learned over the years working on myself and on my clients. So I have a pretty solid recipe of what works. And, you know, my typical female clients lose between 20 and 40 pounds. My male clients lose between 40 and 60. But it's I call it a lifestyle program. It's revolved around health and longevity, high quality, you know, low FODMAP foods, getting rid of chronic inflammation, you know, really understanding what you're putting into your body and what it does. And at the same time, really trying to create a mindset shift in terms of valuing your health, because when you feel better, you think more clearly, you sleep better, you're more productive. You find that things that you've always done before, maybe not, you don't want to do them anymore, or they're not as, something doesn't taste as good or something doesn't feel as good. So I call it my blueprint for life. You know, these 90 days, I say, give me a little bit of sacrifice for 90 days and I'll change your life forever.
Right. Well, you know, this is topical. This is the day after Thanksgiving as we're, you know, recording this right now. What was your Thanksgiving dinner like? I want to know, you know, let's get into that and then kind of talk about, mindset, because everybody, you know, you could talk to somebody blue in the face and they're like, yeah, you know, they know they're, you can get down to somebody that knows that this separates their carbs from their proteins, you know, and it could be all that, but they just don't do it. So let's talk about, how was your dinner last night, by the way? What'd you eat?
It was good. So I'm testing a new theory out right now. And I say theory, it's not really a theory. I'm just trying it on myself to see how it benefits me. But I'm doing an animal-based nutrition program right now. So essentially, my carbohydrates prior were, you know, white rice and potatoes and just quality carbs that your body could handle and easily digest. Whereas now, I'm focusing more on red meat, because honestly, red meat is a superfood. I feel so much better right now eating the foods that I'm eating. So think of, some of the pronunciations are always weird, but kefir, however you say it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the champagne of dairy.
How's kefir different than just regular milk?
Just the culture, so it's got live cultures in it. You can taste it when you drink it. It's for sure different than milk. And when I do drink milk, I'll drink, I'm trying something different with the A2 milk right now, and just different things. Like, so my carbohydrates are fruit, you know, mango, papaya, pineapple, doing some apples and blueberries. I do yogurt and orange juice or my post-workout with a banana. But my Thanksgiving meal last night, if that's what you want to call it, it was really the same thing as I ate for breakfast, which was I had 8 ounces of ground bison with some raw cheese, 3 whole eggs, a mixture of papaya and mango. And what else did I have? That was it.
That's pretty cool. No, that sounds good. I was pegging this, like, what I had to guess what this guy had for dinner last night. I would be like, okay, he's going to have the really, like, just a white meat turkey. He's going to have some yams with nothing on them. And he's going to have some green beans, maybe some sliced almonds on those things. And that's it. But no, but that's what you had, would sound much better.
Yeah. And you know, and I like to listen to my body. So when I feel good eating something, it's easier for me to adhere to it. So if I'm eating something and I don't feel good, I'm not going to do it. So in this whole year, I've been testing on myself different nutritional, you know, protocols, whatever you want to call it. My one of my best friends and training partner, Stan Efferding, he's the world's strongest IFBB pro. He got me turned on to his program, which is called the Vertical Diet, when I moved here to Vegas. And that was a game changer for me before too, because prior, when you're eating, when you think of healthy eating, you're thinking about the traditional bodybuilding foods, which are all really high FODMAP, anti-nutrient foods, you know, chicken breast, broccoli, egg whites. You know, you're lacking a lot of nutrients, which is why you have to supplement so much to get those nutrients in. Whereas I love being able to eat I love being able to eat food where I'm getting my vitamins from it as well, so I can cut down on the amount of supplements that I have to take.
Right. So you're in Vegas now. Are you training people out there? What are you doing out in Vegas?
So far out in Vegas, I'm just working on my online program here with my clients. So I've got clients in 36 different countries, and then I'm just auditioning as they come in. I've got some stuff that I'm excited about kicking off next year, hopefully by spring. But yeah, I'm on the very far end of Vegas, the south as you can go in Henderson. So right behind me are the canyons and mountains, and it's a beautiful place out here.
It is. I know there. My dad lived in Vegas, got some friends out there. What's on your 3 to 5? What do you have what's a long term for you?
Long term is to really, really establish myself as a legitimate actor, and at the same time, scale my fitness business to where I have a team and more people know about what I do and who I am in those terms. Because honestly, at the end of the day, the Marine Corps, the film industry, fitness, these are all things that have helped shape my life, keep my mental health together, and just keep me alive. So I like being able to share my knowledge and share my experiences with everyone who might be looking at going on the same path I am, or, you know, someone who needs guidance or who might be in a rough spot. So I'm very communicative with my clients and people who reach out to me. So it's kind of a pay it forward type thing.
Nice. I love the story. I love your downs and I love your ups and I love what you're doing. I always tell my daughters, you know, I say, you know, I just play this in the podcast for Thanksgiving. There was no episodes, just 1 minute, but I, you know, daddy's, you know, things were, you know, I tell my daughters and there's like 20 of them. Right. But first thing is take care of your body and your mind, be a force for good, be a leader, you know, many, many other things. But first thing is you got to take care of your body and your mind, you know, in that order, you know, cause it's like the mask that you have to wear when, if a plane is going down, you got to take care of yourself and your body before you could do anything else. Right. Cause that's what guides you. And then it's kind of like, that's been your base, you know, it seems like, and no matter how low you got, that's always what stuck by you. And I also thought it'd be nice to, you know, for people that are like, that ate all that garbage, you know, and that's okay. Once in a while, it's, you know, do you, you said before we got going in the pregame, you said, no, I just eat what I eat, you know, usually, but, you know, do you ever, you know, break the diet and kind of just go a little crazy?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I haven't had it since I've been doing this type of eating, but I love pizza. I mean, I love pizza. I could eat pizza every day. I don't really order it out. If I don't make it at home, there's a couple pizzas I like and I'll cook them in the oven and then put them in the air fryer. And yeah.
That's pizza's like my jam. Pizza. Hey, Aaron Williamson, it was a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for sharing your story. I appreciate it. Please tell everybody how they could find you one more time.
I'm most active on Instagram. You can reach me through my website, aaronwilliamson.net. My Instagram is Aaron V. Williamson. Yeah, but if you shoot me a message, I'll be sure to get back in contact with you ASAP.
Hey, you know what's great about, you know, being a physical fitness trainer is that your body is your endorsement. Well, Aaron, who can't see him, you know, the guy's built like a brick shit house. He's fit and he knows what he's doing. So thank you for sharing your story today. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Michael. Thank you.
That was decorated Marine, actor, and celebrity fitness trainer, Aaron Williamson. If you see pictures of him online, he's a pillar of health and power. So I thought it'd be perfect. And as we enter in the final weeks of December, and you're eating all that lovely food that we like to eat this time of year, and maybe you don't work out as much, I thought this would be a great little quote to go along with the time of year, Aaron's story, and what's going on. So here you go. Tomorrow is the first page of a 365-page book, Write a Good One, Brad Paisley. Thank you for joining us and putting up with my COVID nasally noise, and I look forward to hanging out with you all on the next episode. All right, have you guys been to longshotleaders.com? That's where you can check out all of the guests and the bios and the backgrounds and more. Also, if you haven't done so already, subscribe to the podcast on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what we do, give us a good rating. Tell your family and friends to come by and listen. It's going to make you feel nice and toasty inside. Every week we'll be delivering knowledge, creativity, inspiration, exasperation, perspiration. If it ends with a shun, basically you're going to find it here. All right, thank you for joining us. And in the great words of Bill Murray in the movie Caddyshack, friends for life, I say.